From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They come to the final 16. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside. Then it's Mildred. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
It's Pavel with a four-length lead. Honorable Duty moves into second, trying to close. Matru in the outside, Hawakam, but they're all chasing Pavel. Pavel wins the Stephen Foster by three on the wire.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Oh, what a one this is. It is Vino Rosso in front. Enticed continues to battle it, but Vino Rosso's getting away. Restoring Hope is third. Vino Rosso, Fantastico, in the Wood Memorial.
One to get odds in front, and she's dashed away in the Queen's Plate, ahead by a century into second. But there's no doubt who's the best today, and it's all about Wonder Godot, Wonder Woman herself, demolishing them in the Queen's Plate.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs for the month of July, right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, back together again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios, and happy to have you with us tuned in on Sirius 219 XM Channel 201 on affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and of course, everyone streaming us worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Welcome to the program. No shortage of storylines to talk about over the course of the next 2 hours. You think about some of the news that came out this past week, JT. First and foremost, it starts with the Triple Crown winner, Justify, who has officially been retired. No big surprise there. I think most people were expecting this announcement at some point after it was announced that he was taken out of training with that filling in his front ankle. They weren't going to take any chances with this horse. We talked about it on the program last week. No surprises, but Justify officially retired from racing.
Yeah, he's finished. We have fond memories, and now it's time to go meet him and move on.
Yeah. And, you know, and that begs the question, which three-year-old, and let's face it, this is the weekend where the three-year-olds unofficially begin that second half of the season campaign, the three-year-olds that we got to know throughout the Triple Crown. Which three-year-old, and this will be our poll question, and we'll post it on our Twitter feed, but which three-year-old will be the one to pick up the baton and run with it and become the leader in that three-year-old division now that Justify is out of the picture in the second half of the season? And we're going to see Good Magic, the juvenile champion, back in action tomorrow on the Jersey Shore in the Haskell. You have Bravazo, who was ultra competitive throughout the Triple Crown. You have Vino Rosso in the Jim Dandy later today at Saratoga. Maybe he's the one. Hoffberg looked good winning the Curlin. Look, I mean, there's a lot still yet to be determined. I think Justify is your undisputed three-year-old champion, but it begs the question, which three-year-old takes over from here?
Yeah, I was kind of laughing last night looking at Twitter and how many people, you know, made Hoffberg the anti-post favorite for the Trappers.
You know, is our colleague the Big A one of them?
Well, he's liked Hoffberg all along, yeah, and I don't know where he stands on the Travers, but I just think it's funny a horse wins a five horse field in the mud against, you know, lesser company, and now he's the favorite. That race made him the favorite for the Travers. I mean, I don't know. We have, as you mentioned, two other races, much bigger races to take a look at today's race and the Haskell tomorrow, and horses that have been, you know, more accomplished along the trail. I did an interesting little exercise looking at the finish margins, how many lengths Justify beat the horses that are running. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at Good Magic, Justify beat him an average of 1.5 lengths. So that's pretty impressive, because nobody's even close to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Good Magic pops up with one of his better races, which he's certainly capable of doing, and I don't think Chad's going to make any mistakes this time. You know, he's talked about maybe not having him fit enough and this and that, but I guarantee you the horse is going to be as good as he can be tomorrow. And if he would win, I would think he might be the favorite for the Travers. It's going to be interesting. And you mentioned Vino Rosso. He's a talented horse. He seems like he's in a good spot today. He's drawn well. And, it was raining, I guess, all night, according to Steve Bick. I saw a tweet from him this morning. And
yeah, he put out about an inch of rain overnight.
Yeah. So
in Saratoga.
I mean, the track yesterday was very soupy. So, but it's supposed to be relatively sunny. There's some chances of showers during the afternoon, but only 30%. So I'm thinking, you know, the track's probably not going to be fast, but it'll at least be, on the maybe the good side if there isn't any rain. So.
And by the way, we're going to have coverage of that Jim Dandy Stakes later this afternoon. Acacia Courtney hosting alongside analyst Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Forum. Our coverage begins 4:30 Eastern. You'll be able to tune into that coverage throughout North America on Sirius XM Channel 93. And, of course, stream us worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Let's just set the poll question now then. Let's do it so I don't forget to do it, which I have a tendency to do in this first segment of the program. Our poll question of the day, you can vote right now on our Twitter feed, at HRRN. You can do it on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network. With Justify retired, which horse will emerge as the top three-year-old in the second half of the year? And we'll give you four choices. You can vote for Good Magic, Bravazo, Vino Rosso, and then the fourth category will be Other. And if you choose Other, please specify, let us know which other horse out there, other than those other three, you feel will be the leader in the division moving forward here in the second half of the season. I think I agree with you that Good Magic is probably the likely choice in here. And I think Good Magic is a really, really good horse. And there was some doubt about that after he was a maiden and he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. People said, well, how strong was that field? Did he really beat anything? Look, a maiden jumped up and won a grade one. How can that legitimize his form? But then you point out the fact that he was right there with Justify throughout the entire Triple Crown, pretty much, at least the first couple of legs. And you say, yeah, you know what? This horse is legit, because you have to believe in Justify. I mean, here's a horse that did something we may never see done for a very, very long time, right? Not racing as a two-year-old, starting his campaign in February, and blasting through the entire Triple Crown undefeated. That's incredible.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much longer I'm going to live, but, I very seriously doubt it'll happen.
Just trying to make it to next year's Triple Crown.
Exactly. I'm like Vin Scully says, I'm day-to-day, man. So, I can't imagine a horse, recreating that feat, which also brings up the question of, is Justify great? I just sit there and crack up at some of this stuff on Twitter. Hello. But
I don't see, that term gets thrown around a lot, and I think too loosely at times in the world of sports, the term great.
Yeah.
But you look at what this horse did. His accomplishment is great, and I think you have to say, yeah, this is a great horse, right? Yeah. What more does the horse have to do before he's considered great?
Yeah, well, that's it. I hearken back to the interview with Tom Hammond back during the Triple Crown.
Yeah,
and Tom saying, what the horse did was certainly great, and the scope of what he did, is what makes him great. I don't know. They're all great. There's 50 claimers that are great. Like, they have no business in racing, and they do things that they far exceed their expectations, their physical abilities, there's a lot of horses that you could say are great horses, not just because they, accomplished some stakes feat or, won the Grand Slam or whatever. Those horses are obvious.
Yeah.
But it's the other horses, the hard knockers, the horses that, have legs at right angles that have no business really being racehorses, and then they
overcome.
Excel and overcome.
Yep.
Horses that have severe injuries that come back and race at a high level. I mean, those horses are are amazing and deserve total respect. So I don't think it in the end it doesn't really mean anything. All the awards don't mean anything. The horse of the year and all that stuff. It's just fodder for conversation, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You just have to enjoy the horses as they come along.
We're going
to
spend plenty of time talking about both the Jim Dandy and the Haskell over the course of the next 2 hours. This is also PDJF Day across America, meaning that if you go to a racetrack, you're going to be greeted by many of the jockeys at those particular racetracks, and they'll have different events to support the PDJF, and that is the official charity of the Horse Racing Radio Network. We encourage you to support that organization. You can go to pdjf.org if you want to learn more. Rajiv Miraj is a massive supporter of PDJF, and he's somebody who has overcome multiple serious injuries in his career. He's going to be with us at the end of the program today, right around 9:40 Eastern time. And Rajiv will talk to us about some of the things that you can look forward to and some of the reasons you should support the PDJF. He's also participating in the Jockey Karaoke this coming week at Saratoga. That's a great event if you've never been. It's really a lot of fun. Rajiv, back in action. I heard something about a potential duet with Julien Leperu. So we'll talk to him about that. Maybe we can get a sneak peek of what he's planning.
Is this going to be reggae or is it going to be...
Yaman. Iriman.
Everything's Iri.
Everything's Iri. So looking forward to hearing from Rajiv. You're also going to hear from Acacia Courtney, who we told you will be hosting that coverage 4:30 Eastern on the network this afternoon. She'll be live from Saratoga. She's going to join us after this first commercial break. She had a chance yesterday to be on the backside of Saratoga and catch up with several of the major players involved in the Jim Dandy, including trainer Todd Pletcher, who is looking for a seventh win in the race. You'll hear that interview coming up later in the first half of the program. Steve Asmussen also took the time to visit with Acacia yesterday. He has two horses, including Tenfold, going in the Jim Dandy. We'll play that interview for you. And then she talked to trainer Chad Brown about champion Good Magic getting started with his second half campaign in the Haskell tomorrow. So that interview comes your way shortly after 9 Eastern. And kind of sandwiched in between all of this three-year-old talk, we're going to hear from Chris Beccari, one of the consigners that will be selling horses at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale coming up August 6th and 7th. Of course, we'll have that coverage for you from Saratoga as well. So looking forward to the visit with Chris coming up in the second half of the show. A lot of things to get to. We kick it all off next with Acacia Courtney, who joins us live from Saratoga. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kentucky Downs is home to 5 outstanding days of racing beginning September 1st, highlighted by 14 stakes races, 4 graded stakes, and a record $10 million in purses, with increases to the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup and the Taurus Mile. The new Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint will serve as a stepping stone to the new Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and all Kentucky Breds race for $130,000 in maiden events and $145,000 in allowance races. Kentucky Downs, beginning September 1st.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Millridge has a long history of raising and selling racehorses. Future Millridge stallion Oscar Performance broke a 20-year-old track record, winning the Grade 3 Poker at a mile on the turf at Belmont Park. This year's Millridge consignment at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale offers 3 quality yearling fillies by top sires Carpe Diem, Tappet, and Curlin. Since 2005, Millridge has sold 58 yearlings at Saratoga, with 74% winners, 5% Grade 1 or Grade 2 winners. Stop by Barn 5 for inspection. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Tom's Ready, a multiple graded stakes winning millionaire by Sire of Sires More Than Ready. As a three-year-old, Tom's Ready scored in the prestigious Grade 2 Woody Stevens Stakes at Belmont and defeated champion Run Happy in the Grade 3 ACAC at Churchill Downs before winning the Grade 3 Bold Ruler at 4, earning a 107 buyer, the co-fastest buyer at 7 furlongs in 2017. Tom's Ready, new for 2018 at Spendthrift Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
This is Elliot Walden, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. 97 days, 4 hours, and 7 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Churchill Downs. And for many, that road to Churchill begins in earnest this weekend as we continue the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series, the Win in Your Inn races. Yeah, the Bing Crosby out in California this afternoon. That's a solid field of 11. Roy H. looks like an absolute monster in there. But remember, he got beaten this race last year before he went on to win the Breeders' Cup Sprint. You have the Haskell tomorrow at Monmouth. We told you Good Magic, Bravazo, and that showdown on the Jersey Shore. You also have the Clement L. Hirsch out at Del Mar tomorrow, which is a win and you're in for the Distaff division. And, of course, overseas, today, the King George and QE, Queen Elizabeth Stakes, I should say. I want to say QE2, but that's at Keeneland. The King George and Queen Elizabeth Stakes taking place, winning your in for the Breeders' Cup Turf. So a lot of horses trying to punch their ticket. They will punch their ticket after these races this weekend. And again, the big race in Saratoga is the Jim Dandy this afternoon. It's part of a card that features four graded stakes races. You have the Jim Dandy, and only at Saratoga would you have a grade one on the undercard, the A.G. Vanderbilt, which is two races preceding the Jim Dandy. Our coverage begins 4:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 93. Acacia Courtney will handle the duties alongside analyst Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer. And Acacia is with us now from Saratoga. Acacia, good morning.
Good morning, Mike and Jude. How are you guys?
Good.
Things are good here in the Bluegrass. How'd you survive all that rain that they got in Saratoga last night?
I did survive. It held out for us in the afternoon. You know, it rained a little bit and then held out for the last couple of races. They moved the post time of the last race up. And before our dinner reservations, my parents and I got stranded at the paddock bar in the torrential downpour with everybody else. So that's just a quintessential Saratoga moment, I think. But we did survive. Saratoga allergies kicking in a little bit this morning. So there's all of those other things that come with being up at Saratoga as well. But obviously, just so great to be up here.
You know, it's interesting. I was on Twitter late yesterday afternoon, and I saw a tweet that somebody had posted about that early post time for the last race, that they were going to the post early. And they said it was a move that would make Gulfstream Park cringe.
I've had so many people people come over to me and tell me exactly the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm paraphrasing, so I hope I got that tweet right. Yes. But yeah, it was a move that would blow Gulfstream's mind, going to the post early.
Yeah, never happens. And it seems like the Ritvo shuffle keeps getting longer and longer at Gulfstream.
Well, I did hear that as well.
Well, Acacia, what an afternoon of racing. Again, you'll have that coverage 4:30 Eastern. We won't catch the Amsterdam. That's the first of four graded stakes. So that goes shortly before we come on the air at 4:30 today. But tell us a little bit about what folks can look forward to at Saratoga this afternoon.
Well, as you say, we won't have the Amsterdam on our coverage, but of course that goes as race seven. It's still a very contentious grade three, 6.5 furlongs, so definitely an interesting race to kick things off. And then, like you said, only at Saratoga, we'll start off our coverage with grade one with the Vanderbilt. We'll have the Vanderbilt, the grade two Bowling Green, and of course the grade two Jim Dandy. So really looking forward to getting all of those races in. And even though the Jim Dandy's a smaller field, I think it's still a competitive field, and I still think it's kind of up for grabs. Of course, the spotlight does seem to be on Tenfold and Vino Rosso, but when you have a small field like that, I feel like that's the type of race where really anything can happen, and certainly whatever the outcome, it'll be a really good setup leading him into the Travers in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they got Lucky Rewrite scratched yesterday to go in here,
yes.
So gives them a little bit more to go by, but I was reading, they said Jim Dandy won a four-horse Travers. That so this
well,
goes
true.
Way back in history, there's the short field.
Yeah, at odds of like 100-1 or something, right?
I think he was a big number. So, but, you know, that race is competitive despite the fact it's a short field. I mean, there's different ways to look at it, and everybody seems to be on a different horse. What have you heard up at Saratoga?
I talked to Todd Fletcher the other day, and Vino Rosso, working in company with Taprit, of course, I think he's going to kind of be perhaps the headliner. But I've really been kind of on the Tenfold bandwagon since the Preakness, and he had some trouble, of course, in the Belmont, and I'm just really interested to see what we're going to get from him. And this really could be a really telltale race for both of these horses because they're coming out of the Triple Crown Trail, which we know is a strenuous couple of months for these horses anyway. These are tough races, competitive big fields against the top horses. And now they kind of have their own chance to shine, if you will. So I think this is a really kind of telltale time of the year for the three-year-olds, especially with Justify being retired. It's where you kind of start to separate the boys from the men and the rest of the three-year-old crop. And I remember, I always tell this story because I think that it really kind of put things in perspective about just what a good kind of mind Tenfold has on him and why I think he's going to actually turn out to be a really solid horse throughout the rest of the year. Before the Preakness, they had him schooling kind of wherever you could. So Tenfold was schooling the day before the Preakness in a field of two-year-old fillies, and you can imagine it was just mayhem in there in the paddock area, and he handled himself so professionally, and it was like from that moment on I said, this is a horse that I want to keep an eye on. And even though he was third in the Preakness, I mean, a couple more strides and I think he would have gotten there.
Well, the mile and an eighth Jim Dandy comes up at 6:18 Eastern. Again, it's all part of our coverage this afternoon, Sirius XM 93 and worldwide on our website. You can stream us at horseracingradio.net. Acacia, the coverage kicks off with the grade one AG Vanderbilt. You mentioned that. It's on the undercard, which is incredible. 6 furlongs, a solid field set to go in here. Tell us a little bit about the AG Vanderbilt.
Well, of course, I think Imperial Hint, who's your 6-5 morning line favorite. He won the True North last time at Belmont. He's 2-3 on a wet track, too, and that's something that I think will be really interesting to keep an eye on throughout the day. Races 1 and 2 at Saratoga are off the turf, but the weather's supposed to clear up this afternoon, which is great to see. So we'll see how the track is playing. Yesterday, it seemed like you really did want that inside speed, and Imperial Hint certainly has that. He's just been such a top-notch sprinter. Steve Asmussen, represented by Switzerland, who has speed as well. He's 3-3 since coming into his barn, and obviously he has no problem with a wet track, winning on the Preakness undercard and the Maryland Sprint on a sloppy track that day as well. And of course, there's kind of like the wild card horses like Done Deal on the outside or Warriors Club, who, you know, if he wins for Wayne Lucas, you know that that is going to be one very packed and excited winner's circle for the Churchill Downs Racing Club. But certainly, I would say Imperial Hint probably the story in there.
Yeah, it looks like Lucas's horse is going to get a perfect trip, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He should sit right behind the speed. But Imperial Hint, he's such a cool horse. I saw on Twitter this morning somebody was talking about his 124 pounds and that he's a little horse, but he's won with 124 pounds twice. So yeah. I think he can carry the weight as well.
He's really awesome. I got a chance to obviously see him down at Gulfstream winning the Smile Sprint back in 2017. And then just even following him as he seemed to kind of be one of those horses that worked his way up through the ranks. People were kind of questioning, would he be able to handle graded stakes company? Would he be able to handle top company like running in the Breeders' Cup Sprint? And he's just really proved himself every time, which I think is awesome. His performance two starts back at the Churchill Downs, that was a wet track, definitely one of his poorer performances. But coming back with the win in the True North, he's definitely an easy horse to root for.
I'm glad you brought up Done Deal as well. He's breaking from the outside post in that AG Vanderbilt for trainer Ian Wilkes. Chris Landeros will be aboard. This is a horse that's a pretty cool story in his own right. He was off for nearly 2 years, from September of 2016 to May, late May of this year. He comes back. He wins an optional claimer at Churchill Downs on that day, then comes back and takes the Iowa Sprint at Prairie Meadows on July 6th. He wins both of those by open lengths, and here he is with an opportunity to win a grade one at Saratoga. Cool story.
It really is so cool. And that race, first off, the layoff was on the turf too at Churchill Downs, and then they tried him sprinting on the dirt, and he won by four lengths last time as well. He's just, I mean, even if you're a buyer speed figure guy or whatever it is, his numbers have been so strong off the layoff. There clearly was no bounce last time out. And, you know, seeing a horse that can kind of run on anything, whether it's turf, dirt, wet track, whatever it is, off a layoff, just seeing a horse that just runs to his competition and just runs no matter what, really, really fun to see. And he seems to be training very, very well. His work tab is very impressive here at Saratoga.
Yeah, he had that eye-catching 59 flat best of the morning, July 21st, and he certainly adds some speed to the mix. There's a lot of speed in there, so that may bode well for Lucas's horse.
Talking with Acacia Courtney. She is live from Saratoga. She'll handle the hosting duties on our coverage this afternoon. Again, 4:30 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93 is where you can tune in. Acacia, the race in between the AG Vanderbilt and the Jim Dandy is a good one. It's the Grade 2 Bowling Green, mile and three-eighths on that turf course. Not sure what the turf will be. Is it going to be soft, firm? Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. It'll be interesting to see, too, if they keep races on the grass early in the card and try to, you know, maybe even take some races off and try to preserve it for the Bowling Green. We'll see.
That really will be interesting. I know that they have taken races one and two off the turf today at Saratoga. So I guess the first couple of races they're going to try. And from what I can tell, my dad has been refreshing the weather app about every 5 minutes to see what we're going to have today. From what I can tell, it looks like the sun's going to be out later this afternoon, which would be amazing. But certainly with the amount of rain that we got yesterday, I have to imagine there will be just a little bit of give in the turf. And how could there not be? And especially if we get a little bit more rain today. And that, I think, will really be the key, because you look at a horse, for instance, like Sadler's Joy, and he ran well on a good turf at Belmont two starts back, but he's that come-from-behind closer. Looking through his past performances, when there is a little bit of a softer turf, he doesn't run as strong, and he has a really exciting, powerful closing kick. I'll be curious to see how he handles the conditions today, whatever they are.
Yep, he'll get that showdown with High Happy from the barn of Todd Pletcher. John Velasquez, the Hall of Famer, aboard High Happy. And, boy, he's a nice horse, too. This should be a good race.
Yeah, it's definitely a good race. A lot of contention. Bigger Picture, who ran second in the race last year, is in there. It's a very solid field.
All right, well, Acacia, we look forward to hearing you on the coverage this afternoon. Your HRRN hosting debut should be a lot of fun. We'll be locked in, and we hope everybody is as well.
Absolutely. Certainly, we look forward to having you there. SiriusXM 93, and I'm very excited to be hosting alongside Mike and Anthony. We should have a good time.
Yep, it will be a lot of fun. Again, those three greatest stakes part of our coverage this afternoon as we get you set, continue our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series, which is all presented by visitbarbados.org. All right, JT, time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf segment, which is brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus store of Lexington on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, right here in Lexington, Kentucky. They are the dealership of the equine industry in central Kentucky. Make sure you go see the Godfather and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. When we come back, you're going to hear from trainer Todd Pletcher and trainer Steve Asmussen right after this Lexus Legends of the Turf.
This is the story of a man who was active as a thoroughbred owner for 65 years and whose name became synonymous with the American turf. Among the horses he owned and or bred were Swarthmore, Passmore, Seabird, Yankee Witch, Big Blaze, American Flag, Made at Arms, Crusader, Friar's Case, War Hero, War Glory, War Admiral, War Relic, Thumbs Up, War Trophy, Rampart, and the horse that in many quarters is considered the mostest horse that ever was, Man of War. This man was born on July 1st, 1861 in Glenriddle, Scotland, the son of a textile merchant who founded that town. Robert Burns, the well-noted Scotch poet, was at one time the family librarian. Our man was educated at one of this nation's finest small colleges, Swarthmore in suburban Philadelphia. At 21, he followed in his father's footsteps and entered the textile business. He developed an early interest in hunters and hounds, and then steeplechasers, and finally, flat racing. His first horse of note was Swarthmore, named after his alma mater. This one was out of a mare bred by President Ulysses S. Grant. During the 1890s, he had a couple of decent stakes horses in Passmore and Seabird, both of whom were successful at the old Gloucester track in New Jersey. The first horse to wear the famous silks of his stable, black, yellow sash, yellow hoops on sleeves, was Yankee Witch, a daughter of Ogden, who was purchased as a two-year-old from John E. Madden in 1916. That one won the Rosedale Stakes in American record time until then, 1-1-2 for 5 furlongs. She also won the Spinaway Stakes, and in 19, Louis Feustel, his trainer at the time, admired a tall, gangly son of fair play at the Saratoga sale. The man who's the subject of this dissertation was not impressed, but he agreed to buy the horse on the condition he be made a jumper if not successful on the racetrack. A price of $5,000, 7 highest of the sale, was paid for the yearling, who had already been named Man of War. In 1918, this man purchased two more yearlings of note, Big Blaze and Whetstone. Big Blaze was the son of Campfire, costing $1,800, and went on to win the Grand Union Hotel, Interboro, Champlain, and Washington handicaps. In the Interboro, he whipped the Great Zeb in American record time for 1/116 miles, 1:44-4. Whetstone was a filly bred by Colonel Phil Chin and cost $3,100. She won the Brookdale in the ladies' handicap and defeated Preakness winner Nellie Morse. Later, she became the Dam of War hero. When Man of War retired to stud, his first crop of foals produced American Flag, who won the Belmont, Dwyer, and Withers Stakes. From Man of War's second crop came Crusader and Taps. Crusader won the Belmont, Dwyer, Riggs, Huron, Jockey Club Gold Cup, Habit de Gras, Maryland, and Suburban Handicaps. Taps was the best two-year-old filly of her year and won the Matron. The next major horse he owned was War Hero, who in 1932 won the Travers, the Huron, and the Saratoga Cup. The best horse ever bred by this man was War Admiral, a multiple stakes winner, and the last outstanding horse to race in his black and yellow silks was War Relic, who was sired by Man of War. War Relic won the Massachusetts Handicap, Narragansett Governor's Handicap, and the Narragansett Special. A horseman and a sportsman to the very quick, he often disregarded his own best wishes, and he recognized that his ownership of Man of War was not mere possession, but was indeed a part of public legacy, sort of like owning the Sphinx or the Taj Mahal or the Pyramid. So until Man of War became quite ill, the gates of Faraway Farm, where Man of War was housed, were always open to a constant stream of visitors. He met the Dark Horseman as an octogenarian at the age of 89 in 1951, and no finer compliment could be paid him than that he was worthy and well-deserving of owning Man of War, the mostest horse that ever was. That man was Glenn Riddle. Farm was Mr. Sam B. Riddle.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Freak yeah, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, what if I just needed one sandwich delivered?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 100 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
What about 24 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
67 sandwiches?
Freak yeah, we can do that.
You know, 67's a prime number.
Freak yeah, a whole number greater than one whose only factors are one in itself, I know.
Great. I'll take one Turkey Tom, please.
Freak yeah, one Turkey Tom, on the way.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Adina Springs Stallion, Point of Entry.
Point of Entry scores to win the Man of War by four lengths.
A five-time Grade 1 winner viewed by many to be the heir to Dynaformer's global legacy.
Wild final furlong coming here in the Sword Dancer, and here comes Point of Entry, who's running to daylight.
The first horse since Theatrical to win the New York Turf Triple Crown, accomplishing the feat by a combined nine lengths.
And they're coming down to the finish. And Point of Entry will go to the Breeders' Cup on a five-race winning streak.
Point of Entry hails from a remarkable female family, with his first four dams Grade 1 winners and or producers. Now with winners in six countries on all surfaces from 5.5 to 10 furlongs, including the sensational multiple graded stakes winner, Analyze It. And his second crop is off and running, with several promising juvenile winners already in 2018. The heir to Dynaformer and the next global sire is Point of Entry, standing at Adina Springs.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont, adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Breds become millionaires. Four-star crook in the New York Stakes and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Breds, get with the program.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
Baron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Fell, back on the Equine Forum. Maybe we're the freaky fast performance. This freaky fast performance brought to you by your Lexington area Jimmy John's. We should talk faster.
Yeah.
Like the Jimmy John's guy in the commercials.
I don't know. I put on my chipmunk
I might have to
voice.
Get me some Jimmy John's this afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm usually like it at least once a week. I'm a once-a-week Jimmy John's guy, but I might have to go get some this afternoon.
Did you already have your allotment?
No, I haven't had it this week. That's what I'm saying. I think...
You're due.
The Baroness did. My wife went over there and got an Unwich the other day.
Right.
Yeah, I haven't... I'm going to have to do that. Jimmy John's it is. Jimmy John's for the Baron this afternoon.
There you go.
Well, trainer Todd Pletcher has been brilliant in so many big races. Certainly the Jim Dandy. He has owned the Jim Dandy. He has won the race more than any other trainer. Today he has Vino Rosso going for co-owner Mike Rapoli. Now, Mike Rapoli and Todd Pletcher teamed up to win the Jim Dandy in 2011 with Stay Thirsty. It will be quite a scene if they can pull it off today with Vino Rosso and get number 7. By the way, Todd has not won the race since 2013 with Palace Malice crossed the finish line first. That was the last time that Todd won it, but as we said, the cupboard is not bare for Todd Pletcher. He has a good one here today. And yesterday, Acacia was on site at Saratoga. She stopped by the barn to talk to Todd about Vino Rosso and even High Happy in the race before.
Joined by trainer Todd Pletcher, who has won the Jim Dandy 6 times. Do you have a secret recipe?
No, but I do. We do actually at my house in Saratoga call our dining room the Jim Dandy dining room because we have all the wind pictures up there. So there's room for a couple more. I'm hoping to add to the collection.
Of course, you have Vino Rosso in this year's edition. But looking back at your past wins in the race, is there any that really stands out to you?
Actually, I mean, they've all been great. But, you know, the two Travers winners, Flower Alley and Stay Thirsty, you know, were got to the Travers by winning the Jim Dandy. So those two stand out. But actually, I think one of the funnest ones was Strong Hope when he was able to hold off Empire Maker was a lot of fun for us because we weren't sure that he wanted to go a mile and an eighth and everything unfolded perfectly and he was able to just hold on at the end.
You mentioned the mile and an eighth, of course. With three-year-olds at this age, you're always trying to find the right distance and the right spot. How do you prepare for a race like the Jim Dandy?
Well, it depends on each individual horse, but with Vino Rosso coming out of the Belmont at a mile and a half and the Derby at a mile and a quarter before then, we're actually able to kind of lighten up on his training a bit, not do as much as, you know, it might be with another horse that doesn't have that same type of foundation.
You mentioned Stay Thirsty as one of your past Dandy winners, of course, owned by Mike Rapoli, also part owner of Vino Rosso. What would it mean to win another big race with him that you've had so much success together?
Yeah, we have, and you know, Mike's a New York guy, and he loves New York racing, and so, you know, when Vino Rosso won the Wood Memorial, that was a terrific win, and you know, races like the Jim Dandy and the Travers these are very important races to him, and same with the Biolas, who are also New Yorkers. So, you know, these are races that these guys have been watching, you know, their whole lives, and so they're excited about being in a race like the Jim Dandy.
You know, the winner's circle is going to be a big party, too.
If we're fortunate enough to be there, there will be a lot of people in there.
Always fun to see. Now, you mentioned coming out of the Belmont in a mile and a half race. How have you seen Vino Rosso now leading up to the Jim Dandy after going through that Triple Crown strenuous kind of test, if you will?
Yeah, no, I think he's handled it physically very well. He's a pretty low-key horse. He doesn't tip his hand a whole lot in the morning in his daily routine. I did think his final prep and his last breeze before the Jim Dandy was quite good. He breezed in company with Taprit and, you know, was very competitive with him and finished up well. So, you know, that's what we were looking for, is just kind of a sharp half to put him back on his toes. And I like the way he's coming into it.
He finished fourth in the Belmont. What did you think about his performances throughout the Triple Crown?
Well, I think the Derby was a complete throwout in the big field. He didn't handle the slop at all and all the kickback. That was a tough race for him. Thought he bounced back with a good effort in the Belmont. John Velasquez made a decision at the half-mile pole to go try to challenge Justify, and he got close to him, but I think took him out of his style a little bit, and Johnny felt like if he had waited and ridden him more conservatively, he would have probably been second, but we were obviously in the race to try to win it, and he did that, and I think it kind of it told on him a little bit the final eighth, but I still thought he ran a very credible race.
He's always run solidly, and he's run against top competition. Looking back to one of his biggest wins in the Wood Memorial, what were your takeaways from that and what you've seen from him since then?
Well, I thought we got the trip we wanted that day, and we got a good pace to run at, and that's one of my concerns with the Jim Dandy is I'm not sure how much pace is in there. I'm hoping maybe the Flame Away and Re-Ride at least, you know, set up an honest race. But I think he's adaptable enough that he can, you know, lay a little bit closer if he needs to. But I think his strength would be if there was a real true pace to run at.
Being in a smaller field like you'll see in the Jim Dandy, how do you handle that with an outside post and just 5 horses?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the strategy will be to get some good position into the first turn. At that point, Johnny will be able to decide how much pace is actually on. And if they're going slow, then I think he'll try to go up and put some pressure on them. If they're going at an honest pace, then he'll let them settle into third or fourth.
Would you think the game plan would be Jim Dandy and then potentially the Travers?
That's what we're hoping for, definitely. And we felt like that the Jim Dandy is a great prep for the Travers. It's a race over the track, and you don't have to ship, and it's a great race in its own right, but perfect prep for the Travers as well.
And you also have some other exciting horses on the undercard, High Happy. What have you seen from him lately?
He's a great horse to train. He's very straightforward, very professional, low-key, just does his thing, seasoned veteran, and, you know, shows up and runs well pretty much every time.
What would you like to see from him on Saturday?
It's a little bit of a paceless race, so I think he's adaptable to that. Last time he was on the lead, which we didn't really want to be, so hopefully we can find at least one horse to follow, save some ground, and get him into a comfortable rhythm.
Perfect. Todd, thanks so much, and best of luck this weekend.
Thanks.
All right, Todd Pletcher visiting with our Acacia Courtney, talking about High Happy in the Bowling Green, which is the race preceding the Jim Dandy, and then spending a lot of time talking about his Jim Dandy contender, Vino Rosso. And again, a field of five set to go in that Jim Dandy. 6:18 Eastern is the post. Our coverage beginning 4:30 Eastern time here on the network this afternoon. Jude, you heard Todd talk about the pace scenario, and with just five horses, look, there doesn't expect to be a ton of pace in here. At least on paper, it doesn't look like it. But he's hoping that Reride and maybe Flameway hook up into a little bit of a battle. They can set it up for a horse like Vino Rosso, who figures to be coming from a little bit off the pace.
Yeah, well, I definitely think Reride's going to go because they've got Tenfold in there as well, Winchell Thoroughbreds. So I could see where Reride's going to go chase Flame Away a little bit. I also think Wayne Lucas's horse, Sporting Chance, to me, he's a one-turn horse. Wayne's kind of testing his ability here, going a mile and an eighth. But I think he's a horse that has shown speed in the past. So I think those three horses are probably going to be duking it out on the front end. Maybe not going as fast as Todd would like. I mean, I'm sure he'd like to have some sprinter in there that wheels off a 46 or something. But, I think they're going to be going relatively fast. And Vino Rosso should be in a tremendous spot. He should be right where you want to be, right behind the speed. So I don't think Johnny's going to have to use him too much. I think he'll be all right in there.
Well, Reride, who you mentioned may be going to the front, and Flame Away from the barn of Mark Cassie. But Reride, trained by Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen. Steve also trains Tenfold. And yesterday, Acacia caught up with Steve as he was leaving the paddock and had a chance to talk to him about those two.
I'm here with trainer Steve Asmussen, who does have a big Saturday coming up. We'll start with Switzerland and the Vanderbilt. This horse is 4-for-4 in 2018. Been a big year so far.
It has. He's run some nice races. Horse came into the barn in good shape and got a couple of confidence boosters there early. And then, obviously, we were very pleased with his win in the Maryland Sprint.
That was a wet track. We have had, of course, some rain in Saratoga. Does that give you a little bit more confidence?
Well, obviously, with him performing well on and off track, you don't worry about it as much, but he's trained really well on a fast racetrack as well.
He does have the inside post. Where would you like to see him throughout the race?
Well, I obviously would have preferred him not drawing the rail in there, but he has broke well and shown a lot of speed in all of his previous races for us, and hopefully that'll continue.
You do have a nice 1-2 punch in the Jim Dandy with Tenfold and Reride. Just tell me a little bit about these horses leading into the race.
Well, obviously, we've been very high on Tenfold and his talent and his development. And I think it's time for him to step up and prove it in the Jim Dandy. And, Reride's a horse that's traveled really well. And with the light number in the race, it is a very good chance for him to make some money.
Now, Tenfold, coming out of that Triple Crown trail, what have you seen from him from his tries in the Preakness and Belmont?
Well, he is, got a great disposition, and he's a very athletic horse. I feel that the mile and an eighth right now here at Saratoga will suit him.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve, very much, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Asmussen, starting by talking about Switzerland in the AG Vanderbilt, has the rail draw, comes into the race a winner of four consecutive starts, so in very, very good form. We'll see if Switzerland can have an impact in that AG Vanderbilt. Then he talked about Tenfold and Reride, and Jude, the one thing you mentioned was that they were always high on Tenfold, and you kind of knew that after they tried him in the Preakness Stakes, and he finished just 3/4 of a length behind Justify that day. Came back in the Belmont, had a little bit of trouble in there, but really wasn't much of a factor. He was fifth. He was beaten 7 1/4 lengths by Justify that afternoon when Justify won the Triple Crown. This is a horse that should benefit from the smaller field because he won't have to, hopefully won't have to worry about all the traffic troubles that he could get into in a bigger field. And that mile and an eighth distance appears to be right up his alley.
Yeah, he's kind of in the same boat as Vino Rosso. He's going to be one of the trailers early on. And, he'll have to make his run. So it's going to depend on the pace. And it sounds like Steve wasn't tremendously high on Reride. He said it's a chance for him to make some money. I think there's no doubt the intended winner from the stable is the other horse.
Tenfold,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, Reride will be out there winging, and that's going to help his stablemate for sure.
Do you think, in terms of the complexion of the race, that Tenfold is in front of Vino Rosso for much of the race and kind of gets a jump on him, maybe? Could we look at it like that?
It's possible. I don't think Johnny V's going to let anybody get a jump on him. I think those horses will be, you know, fourth and fifth early on, and Johnny's going to be outside. So I think that gives Johnny a little bit of an edge because he can actually, you know, keep him boxed in if he wants to, or he can call his own shots when he decides to go from the outside. He can go. I think it's going to be an interesting race to watch, even though it's a short field. I'm not a big fan of short fields, like most people, but
well, it becomes a tactical type of race,
yeah,
right?
And it's jockeys type of race. I think it's going to be very tactical, that race, and I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, and if you're going to have a tactical jockey in your corner,
there's only
better,
one.
Who better than the Hall of Famer, John Velasquez, Saratoga's all-time leading rider.
Five-horse field, he has plan A through Z.
You know what? That's the one thing about Johnny V and all these great riders. I guarantee you, even though it's only a five-horse field, he's taking nothing, leaving nothing to chance. He will have multiple plans mapped out in his head, and he will have multiple scenarios that could play out right from the start.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wonder what happens. If he breaks two lengths in front, what happens then? Which plan is that? Do we get down to like G?
Let the big horse roll.
The wire-to-wire plan?
Let the big horse roll. Let him go. Why not? All right, we're going to get to another break. We're going to come back. We'll get you set up for the second half of the program, which includes interviews with Chad Brown, Chris Beccari, and Rajiv Miraj. We'll tell you more about that next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched and keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Emolliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizu with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front, a gorgeous millionaire son of the Great War Front, has wasted no time in establishing himself as a major force in the commercial marketplace. Known on the racetrack for his electric turn of foot, Summer Front's first crop weanlings averaged over $100,000 with a sensational $100,000 median at the Keeneland November sale, all from an initial stud fee of just $10,000. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Practical Joke always showed a lot of ability. He showed a lot of heart, a lot of determination. Right from the first breeze, he identified himself as one of the best in his crop.
Practical Joke down to the wire, the champagne!
Practical Joke took both the hopeful and the champagne stakes. He's a fast, tough,
precocious two-year-old trained on showed even better form at three.
It is Practical Joke in the Allen Jerkins.
He's going to be a horse that no commercial breeder can leave off their list.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And there she goes! Serena Song takes the lead, opens up by two on the turn, and now she's three on top, and she will take some catching. Racing in second position is Citadine, and Pyramid Peak is making his run on the outside, but Serena Song is in command here. She went three quarters in 1:10 and 2, and Gary Stevens is running the Haskell. It's going to be the filly over the board, but now Pyramid Peak is coming on. Serena Song, she's going to have just enough left, and Serena Song wins the Haskell. Pyramid Peak gave her a scare late, and Citadine finished her.
Little flashback there for you. Serena's Song, how brilliant was she? Winning the 1995 Haskell Invitational under Hall of Famer Gary Stevens for Hall of Fame trainer Dwayne Lucas. Wayne looking to return to that Haskell winner's circle for the first time since that winning effort by Serena's Song. We'll see if he can pull it off tomorrow afternoon with Bravazo. And, you know, to me, as I was kind of getting ready for the show and looking at some of these things, JT, I was a little bit surprised to see that that was the only time that Dwayne Lucas has won the Haskell. With all of the outstanding three-year-olds he's had, that's his lone win in that race.
Well, for a long time, he wasn't really a Saratoga guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a West Coast guy for many, many years, and then he expanded his horizons. Not that he ever missed a race out of town if he thought he could win one.
Right.
But, it was maybe just a little bit different focus for him back in those days.
Serena Song, one of just two females ever to beat the boys in the Haskell. The other, the great Rachel Alexandra in 2009.
Yeah, that's a nice pair of fillies.
How'd you like to own those two?
That would be everybody's dream, probably. That's a nice couple of girls. They, the Haskell's such a great race, and it's got a tremendous tradition. And I'm really sorry to be missing it. I think it's the first time I've missed it in about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's a tremendous race. A win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division, and we'll see who can punch their ticket that race tomorrow afternoon at Monmouth Park. Don't forget that hay season is now here. That's right, and that makes now the time to save on hardworking hay tools. For a limited time, you can enjoy extra savings on select John Deere mower conditioners and round balers. Pay a visit to your local John Deere dealer to learn more. And be prepared with tough and reliable equipment when it's time for that first cutting. Offer ends October 26th of this year. Terms and conditions do apply. See your John Deere dealer for qualifying products and complete details. And how about this? If you call 866-678-4289, I'm going to say it again. That's 866-678-4289. You can find out how you can get an equine discount of up to 28% off new John Deere equipment. 28% from tractors and mowers to gators and haying equipment. John Deere has everything that you would need for your horse farm. Visit your local John Deere dealership today and ask them about the equine discount, or just call 866-678-4289 to learn more. Great deal there. Nothing runs like a deer. That's right. Well done, JT. Well played. Coming up second half of the program, you're going to hear from trainer Chad Brown as he talks about juvenile champion Good Magic, returning to action tomorrow in that Haskell Invitational. You're going to hear from Chris Beccari, who will have four horses going under the gavel at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale August 6th and 7th at the Spa. That is the premier yearling sale that we have in the sport today. And Chris is going to be very, very busy with those four outstanding horses. He'll tell you more about those. And he'll look back on Salty, one of his graduates from his consignments, who won the La Troyenne earlier this season. So looking forward to the visit with Chris coming up 9:20 Eastern. And then Rajiv Miraj going to be with us 9:40 Eastern time to wrap up the show. Rajiv participating in the Jockey Karaoke in Saratoga this coming week. This is also PDJF Day across America, where you can go to your local racetrack and enjoy spending some time with the jockeys who will be participating in all the activities taking place at those individual tracks. So Rajiv will be with us to tell us more about some of the things you can look forward to and how you can support the PDJF. All of that coming up second half of the show, right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside tenfold. Bravazo, Justify, he's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Audible by three. Hoffberg can't get him. Mississippi is third. Five Florida Derbies for Todd Pletcher. Audible, no doubt about it. He won it by 2.5.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
And here's Athena and Ryan Moore on the far outside, and suddenly they've gone by them all. Athena to the front, and she's pulling away late. And Athena will win the Belmont Oaks by 3 lengths on the wire.
Justify from Gronkowski. He's just perfect. And now he's just immortal. Justify is the 13th Triple Crown winner.
Now here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here in the month of July. And it's all right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Happy to have you back with us. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, in our Jimmy John's of Lexington broadcast studios. Fun first half of the program. You heard from Acacia Courtney, live from Saratoga. She'll host our coverage of the Jim Dandy later this afternoon, beginning at 4:30 Eastern time. If you're just joining us, that coverage comes your way on Sirius XM 93. And you can stream it worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. You heard from Todd Pletcher talking about Vino Rosso and High Happy, two outstanding horses he'll send to the post later today at Saratoga. And you heard from Steve Asmussen talking about Switzerland and the AG Vanderbilt and Tenfold and Reride in the Jim Dandy. If you missed any portion of the first half of the program, head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast available for you to listen to at your leisure. It will be posted shortly after 10 o'clock Eastern time this morning. JT, we threw out the poll question on our HRN Twitter feed and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, and people are weighing in pretty quickly here. The poll question, you still have plenty of time to vote, by the way. The poll question is, with Justify's retirement announced this week, who will emerge as the leader of the three-year-old division? And we gave you four choices. You have Good Magic, you have Bravazo, Vino Rosso, and then Other. And of course, if you choose Other, we did ask you to comment and let us know who. The leader in the clubhouse right now is Good Magic. 52% of the vote coming in for Good Magic. Kind of obvious. You and I both thought Good Magic would be the likely one to pick up the baton, so to speak, and run with it. The other category, actually getting a lot of respect, 34% of the vote coming in for Other, only 7% for both Bravazo and Vino Rosso. Not a lot of respect for those two. In terms of the other category, Hoffberg has a couple of votes. No surprise, winning the Curlin Stakes. And then somebody actually said Gronkowski. They've been blocked from my Twitter feed now. Just for mentioning the name Gronkowski on the Twitter feed. That's it, you're blocked. Sorry. I'm kidding. What do you think? And no surprises,
Is Gronkowski,
I don't know. Where's he going to show up next?
I don't know.
I really don't know.
I don't think he's running in the Traverse, is he? I don't think he'll be ready for that.
I wouldn't think, but I haven't heard.
Yeah, I don't know. He's an interesting horse. He ran a tremendous race.
Yeah. Huge race.
Yeah. So, no, and in Hofburg, I thought maybe Hofburg should have been in the question instead of Bravazo. I think Bravazo's kind of an outlier at this point, but
he was more accomplished throughout the Triple Crown than Hofburg.
I understand. Well, I don't know. Hofburg maybe ran better consistently, but there's other horses too. I mean, I guess Audible, the forgotten horse.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to make the Traverse or what his schedule is. I don't even know if he's currently doing anything. But, I mean, he's a tremendous horse. From what I understand, Audible's going to be pointed toward the Pegasus. So they're going to race him kind of towards the end of the year. Maybe in a Breeders' Cup undercard race, or maybe the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile or something. Who knows?
Right.
And then prep them for the Pegasus in January. So I think that's maybe a good plan. We'll see how far they get with him, because he's a really good horse. I mean, we saw him.
Yeah, he's very good.
We saw him win two fantastic races in Florida.
And with Windstar saying goodbye to Justify, it would be nice to see Audible step in and fill that void for them.
Yeah, if you're Windstar, that would be ideal.
That's what they're looking for, right? Yeah, of course. So that is your Captain Obvious segment for the show. They would be thrilled if Audible did well.
The Captain Obvious, the guy that plays Captain Obvious on TV, he always reminds me of Alice Starr. Right?
He does too. He does have with the beard and everything.
Yeah, he looks like Alice.
Yeah, he does. Before we get to Chad Brown, you're going to hear from Chad Brown talking about Good Magic in tomorrow's Haskell Invitational, which, of course, is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Just got to tell you this quick story. I'm not quite sure what just made me think of this, but I was driving into the studio this morning to come to the show, and from my house in Versailles. Everybody else in the world says Versailles. Here in Kentucky, it's Versailles. I'm driving in. It's about 20 minutes from my house to the studio. And you come right past Keeneland, you come right past Calumet Farm. It's a beautiful drive-in. And there's several different traffic lights that you have to go through. Well, I'm green all the way through, right? I don't stop the whole way in. I'm hitting green light, green light, green light. I'm thinking, man, how long can this keep going? Because if I go green all the way through, which has only happened one time, one other time in the history of coming to the studio, if I'm green all the way through, I'm thinking I'm playing that pick six at Saratoga today. It's going down, right? So I'm coming in. I go green, green. I get to the penultimate traffic light, next to last, right?
That's what penultimate means.
Yes, penultimate traffic light, and it's red. And I start going real slow, right? I'm going. I'm kind of creeping up to it, so I don't have to stop the vehicle. All four wheels dead in the road. I'm going real slow. It didn't happen.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. I had to come to a complete
probably
stop.
Probably saved you a couple hundred.
Broke the street. But I'm thinking, come on, if I go slow, and even if I'm just moving, barely moving, I can still get through that light when it's green and keep the streak alive. But didn't happen today. Not meant to be. Not playing the pick six at Saratoga.
It is a beautiful drive, though. That's a nice stretch of all the way from 64 down, actually, you pass Ashford Stud and Stone Street. Beautiful.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. All right. As we told you, Chad Brown took the time to visit with Acacia for a couple of minutes at the barn in Saratoga yesterday. He'll make his way to Monmouth tomorrow for the Haskell and to saddle Good Magic. And here's what he had to say about his juvenile champion.
I'm joined by trainer Chad Brown talking about Good Magic. Post-position draw just happened. What are your thoughts on where he drew in post six for the Haskell?
I like the post. So, should give Jose some options there where he doesn't need to go down to the fence and just kind of stay out of trouble, and hopefully it breaks clean and gets a good forward spot.
He had a little bit of a rest now since running in the first two legs of the Triple Crown. What have you been seeing from him lately?
The horse has really bounced back nicely. We gave him a little time to freshen up, put some weight on, and those two races took a little bit of a toll on him. Just a little bit tired and lost a little bit of weight, but now he's back. I mean, he looks really good. He's moving good. His works have been sharp, so I think he's ready to run again.
Now, being the two-year-old champion and then coming back as a three-year-old, winning the Bluegrass, running so well second in the Kentucky Derby, did that kind of validate things for you with him a little bit?
Yeah. We always knew what he was capable of. And, you know, with such a lightly raced horse as a two-year-old, you know, breaking his maiden in Breeders' Cup race, of course, there's a lot of doubters out there about the real quality of him or the quality of the race that he won in the Breeders' Cup. But I was happy to see him come back and really perform well in the Triple Crown and prove to everyone he's a real solid racehorse. It wasn't just a fluke he won the Breeders' Cup.
What is kind of the game plan for this horse throughout the rest of the year?
We're really going to take it a race at a time and just see how he performs here. We'd love to run on the Haskell and then come back in the Travers. That's the plan. But for right now, we're just looking at Sunday.
Of course, Jose Ortiz has been aboard him all along. What are his thoughts on how the horse is doing or leading up to the race?
Well, he hasn't been on him since the Preakness. We've been doing a lot of work in-house with our staff, so he's excited to get back on him. And, you know, he keeps a close eye on this horse. And, they're a good team, so, you know, hopefully he can get it done Sunday.
Looking at the overall kind of pace scenario for the race, it looks like there could be a little bit of pace in it. How would you like Good Magic to sit?
Yeah, if there's some pace in it, that'd be fine by us, and hopefully a couple horses will go out there and he get a good stalking position out of trouble. And then and hopefully the horse responds to Jose when he wants to make his move.
When did you know that he was ready to come back and put forth a good performance?
Right after the Preakness, we were gearing towards the Haskell. We put it on the calendar as his next start if the horse cooperated. So it's always been a target of ours, and particularly the last two or three works, this horse has really signaled that he's ready to run, and we're getting pretty excited about running him.
Chad, thank you so much. Best of luck in the Haskell.
Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks to Chad Brown. Thanks to Acacia for stopping by to do that interview with Chad. Good Magic, 6-5 on the morning line in tomorrow's Haskell. Fourth in the Preakness last time out. But, Jude, you remember that was that race where he decided, I don't know if it was Chad's decision or Jose just decided to do it, but they decided to take the race to Justify. They couldn't let Justify get out there on the front end all alone. They said, okay, we'll take it to him. And they were there every step of the way, hounding Justify. Just couldn't match strides through the lane. Justify too much, too good. But a really nice race from Good Magic. I wouldn't expect that they're going to employ that same type of strategy in the Haskell tomorrow. I would think he'll probably sit just a little bit. You heard Chad talk about the chance that there could be a solid pace in there, and he said that's fine with them.
Yeah, I mean, the horse's basic style is a presser. You know, Good Magic, he's not a horse that blasts off to the lead. He's more of a horse that likes to have a little bit of a target. He doesn't get too far behind, which I think is part of his talent. You know, he's got a really nice amount of tactical speed. So Jose can do what he wants with him. But you heard Chad say he'd like to have a couple horses, you know, out there winging and be in a good spot out of trouble. That tells me he wants to be fourth on the outside. And,
yep.
And that's, I think, you know, where the horse does his best running when he's, you know, when he's fifth or fourth and, you know, just three or four lengths off the lead. I think that's perfect for him. So he could get that kind of trip in here. You know, Navy Commanders got speed. Roaming Union's got speed. Core Beliefs has a little speed. He doesn't need to use it. He came from well off the pace in the Ohio Derby. Bravazo certainly got some speed. So there should be enough pace on where he can find Jose can find a good spot for Good Magic, and if he's as ready as Chad thinks he is, he's going to run a big race.
Let's assume that Good Magic doesn't fire his best shot today and he gets beat. Who's the most likely winner outside of Good Magic?
Well, we talked about this on the weekend stakes preview. I kind of like Lone Sailor a little bit as the exacta partner. I think Good Magic's going to win, but Lone Sailor, he ran a really good race in the Ohio Derby. He doesn't have a lot of speed. He comes from well off the pace, but I like Joe Bravo getting on this horse at Monmouth. I like the mile and an eighth. I think it's a good distance for Lone Sailor. He blew out really good 46-2 for this race. I have a lot of confidence in Tom Amos. I think he's a fine trainer, and you know, I would think Lone Sailor would be flying at the end, and I believe that there's going to be a pretty good pace, so I think it could set up for him.
How about the horse that beat him in the Ohio Derby last time out, Core Beliefs? They get a rematch in the Haskell tomorrow as well. Now, granted, the margin was only a nose, so they were pretty much inseparable, but it was Core Beliefs' nose who got to the wire first.
Yeah, you know, the thing that interests me about Core Beliefs, Joe Talamo rode him in the Ohio Derby. He's not making the trip. I mean, they've got a great rider in Flavien Prat, but it's interesting to me that Joe's not riding him back. Maybe I'm reading too much into that. I don't know. But he's a good horse, and he's come around. You know, everybody thought when he ran third to Justify in the Sanita Derby, well, somebody had to run third. He just clunked in there behind the rest of the field. But then he came back and ran a super race in the Peter Pan, looked like he had it won, and just got outrun by Blended Citizen at the end, who was a hot horse at the time, and then came back and won the Ohio Derby. So I think he's improving. I think he certainly has a chance. I'm not surprised that they're running him. I think he deserves a shot at these horses. But I was just surprised that I thought if Joe was really impressed with him, he would have ridden him back in this race.
Well, speaking of jockeys, back to your horse Lone Sailor, Joe Bravo taking over as the jockey there. Jersey Joe has had so much success with racing in New Jersey and right there at Monmouth Park. I was just taking a quick scan through the past winners of the Haskell, and Joe Bravo has won the race just one other time, which is a little surprising considering how good of a rider he is, and I think one of the more underrated riders that we have in the sport today. And considering how much success he's had at Monmouth Park, he's only won it one other time. That was in 2004 with Lionheart. So we'll see if Joe can get to the winner's circle for a second time in the Haskell.
Yeah, you know, Joe has a knack of getting on these horses that are closers and being able to time their finishing kicks. Even though he's never ridden him before.
And he knows the track, right?
And he knows the track.
He's the guy.
Monmouth Park is not a come-from-behinders track as a rule. But I think Joe fits his horse like a glove. I think he's going to ride a good race, and I think people are going to be a little surprised by Lone Sailor. I mean, he's certainly, you know, in good form. And like I say, Tom's an excellent trainer, and I love the way he's been training. So, yeah, I think he's got a chance.
All right, that Haskell Invitational at Monmouth tomorrow afternoon. Post time for the Haskell, 5:45 Eastern time. Again, it is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Classic Division. It is time now for your weekly Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, we told you about this one earlier in the program. If you're just joining us, Hofburg rolled to an easy victory in the Curlin Stakes. That's right. The confidence displayed by jockey Irod Ortiz Jr. aboard Hofburg in the $100,000 Curlin yesterday in the slop at Saratoga proved warranted. The classic play son of Tappet had little trouble securing his first stakes win Friday in the mile and an eighth Curlin as he forged past Nicodemus at the top of the stretch and drew off to a five-length victory. Ortiz hit him once and showed him the whip another time in mid-stretch to keep Hofburg's attention, but his win was never in doubt through the lane. And that's your Blood Horse News Update for this morning. Did you know that you can now use your Amazon Alexa devices to listen to Blood Horse Daily feature stories? Blood Horse Daily has the latest racing, breeding, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more. It's free and available via PDF, email, phone app, or now you can use Alexa devices to listen audibly as well. Visit bloodhorse.com/daily. All right, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Beccari as he gets set to consign four selected yearlings to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale August 6th and 7th. Rajiv Miraj also set to join us 9:40 Eastern. Stay tuned. It's the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kentucky Downs is home to five outstanding days of racing beginning September 1st, highlighted by 14 stakes races, four graded stakes, and a record $10 million in purses, with increases to the Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup and the Taurus Mile. The new Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint will serve as a stepping stone to the new Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, and all Kentucky Breds race for $130,000 in maiden events and $145,000 in allowance races. Kentucky Downs, beginning September 1st.
When you're competing at the grade one level, you need an edge.
As Competitive Edge goes on with it now to take over the lead.
And it's Competitive Edge with the lead.
His edge was speed.
Competitive Edge, the winner by 4.5 lengths.
Opening up to lead by 3, now by 4. Competitive Edge, spectacular once again.
The best 2-year-old by Kentucky Derby winner Super Saver. Competitive Edge.
Denali Stud, led by 2015 Farm Manager of the Year Gary Bush, and Donnie Snellings, regarded as one of the best yearling managers in Kentucky. In recent years, Denali has raised Grade 1 standouts Animal Kingdom, Taprit, Her Eminency, and Hawkish, while consigning Grade 1 winners Constellation, V.E. Day, and Bolt Doro. Consistently a top 5 consigner, Denali has sold a $1 million horse at the Saratoga sale 3 years running, and the sale topper in 2 of those years. Denali Stud, a proud tradition of attention to detail and raising and selling Saturday afternoon horses.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, can you explain how the claims process works? Knock on wood, I haven't experienced a claim recently and hope I never will, but what happens?
Well, Mike, after we are notified by the insured of an accident or event, we will submit a claim report to the company, giving basic details of the claim. A claims representative will then contact the insured to walk them through the claim settlement process. Most claims are settled promptly, efficiently, and to the complete satisfaction of the insured.
Well, that sounds fair.
Basically, the insured is buying an insurance policy, which is a promise to pay in the event of a covered claim. It also provides peace of mind absent of a claim. That's the way it works.
Thanks, Joe. For all your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
How do New York Breds perform? They win in world-class company. From Grade 1 races in Dubai, where New York-sired New York Bred Mind Your Biscuits won the Golden Shaheen for a second time, to Belmont adding to his status as the richest New York Bred with a close second in the Met Mile. The Belmont Festival saw two more New York Breds become millionaires. Four-star crook in the New York Stakes and world record setter Disco Partner with a repeat victory in the Jaipur. New York Breds, get with the program.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Salty's asked to pick it up from third. Abel Tasman, the Kentucky Oaks winner, looms on the far outside, now third. As they turn into the stretch, Farrell's off the turn, and she kicks away. Farrell's in front of length and a half now. Martini Glass is full out, but is second. Abel Tasman on the outside in a full-out drive, but she's still third. And Salty's re-rallying down inside, but it's still Farrell to catch. Half-length lead. Salty with a rail rally. Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it. Length and a half on the wire. Farrell was second, Martini Glass was third, Abel Tasman checks in fourth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass. Travis Stone had the call of the La Troyenne, that Grade 1 contested at Churchill Downs on May 4th. It was a huge effort by Salty, who gets the victory. She has now earned nearly $700,000 in her career, which is, wow, she has just been so, so good, so consistent. 11 starts, 4 wins, 2 seconds, 2 thirds, and the current pride of our good friend Chris Beccari
and his consignment, no doubt about it. Chris is with us now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, welcome, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And that little trip down memory lane for you, I figured we'd look back on that grade one. What a performance by Salty that day.
Yeah, it sure was. It was nice to see her get her grade one win. She's been unlucky several starts last year, but it was sure nice to see her get that done.
What do you remember about watching her cross the finish line there at Churchill?
I remember it finally wasn't 8 or 10 wide. Because when you run in grade one company, you can't go 8 or 10 wide all the time. So it was nice to see her get a normal trip.
It sounds like you might have had a couple bucks on her.
No, I bet every day at the farm. I don't need to bet like that.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, she's so good. And as I mentioned, kind of the current star of your consignment. You've had several outstanding horses that you have been fortunate enough to sell and to be around. But Salty, the current star of everything that you've worked so hard to accomplish, Chris.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And it's very good because she's one of our homebreds and we have the whole family here at the farm. So it's very nice to see that all come together.
Yeah, that's so important when the house horse wins. That really picks up everybody's head.
It sure does. Everybody at the farm gets a real big thrill out of that, and they take a lot of pride in it.
What do you remember about her when she was going through the sales?
Well, to be honest with you, she was getting ready to go through the sale, and she had a little foot bruise right before the yearling sale. And I decided to take her out of the sale at that time. She was entered, and we were going to go, and I said, you know, she's just not 100%. And I said, we better just stop. And as soon as we scratched her, she was fine. That's just kind of how, to be honest with you, that's exactly how that happened. Exactly how that happened.
That's horse racing, right?
Yes, exactly.
Visiting with Chris Beccari, the man who, as you heard, had Salty ready to go under the gavel and then didn't. And now here she is, a grade one winner. Pretty spectacular. Chris, you're going to have four selected yearlings ready to go at Saratoga coming up next week, August 6th and 7th. I guess it's about 10 days away. And really, really good horses, too. Tell me about them.
The first colt we can talk about is Pioneer of the Nile out of Miss Ocean City. He's a very, very special horse. He's by Pioneer of the Nile. We all know he can get you any kind of classic winner. And he's just a really, really solid horse. A lot of bone, a lot of strength, and very forward-looking. Looks like he could run very early, but definitely looks like a Saturday afternoon horse.
Yeah, Pioneer of the Nile, of course, also the sire of Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, so that doesn't hurt either, right?
No, exactly. You know, he's just a very, very good physical, and we're very, very proud of him.
He's got a lot of black type on the bottom side as well. It's a beautiful page.
Yes, it ties in very well. Ties in really good. I'm excited to have him up there.
You'll be in barn two for that sale. Pioneer of the Nile colt is hip number 42. Then you'll come back a little bit later with hip number 152, which is a Bernardini filly. Tell me a little bit about her.
Yeah, she's very special as well. She looks like it'll take her no time to be ready. She has a lot more shape than most Bernardinis do, a lot of hip and a really, really strong hind leg on her. And being out of an Unbridled Song mare, that's just a very good cross. And that mare's had a nice stake horse called Bluegrass Singer who was on the Derby Trail a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's another solid black type page. What you'd expect at Saratoga, but maybe a little better than most with the third dam and the fourth dam, both stakes winners as well.
Yeah, and I think it's a very good cross because being out of a daughter of Unbridled Song, and you tie it right back out of a daughter of Deputy Minister. It's just you're breeding good looks and performance at the same time.
Yeah, then you come back. Hip number 161 is an Honor Code colt out of Appealing Bride, and I have to assume that this horse is a really good-looking individual too.
Yeah, very strong, really good moving horse. Again, out of another daughter of Unbridled Song. And the thing that's kind of neat with this horse here is Appealing Tail is a horse that actually beat Honor Code in the Kelso. He's a very, very good, strong physical. And I think the Honor Code should be very well received.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to really like those horses. When you talk to different breeders, they bring his name up quite regularly.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really well received. He's just, and Honor Code himself has got such a great female pedigree on him. So I see no reason why he shouldn't make it.
Yeah, tremendous. And then you're going to wrap things up with hip number 201, a daughter of Curlin out of Crystal Current. And Chris, I'm going to tell you, I think that Curlin's going to be okay.
No, I think so too. I think that's pretty straightforward. Very nice filly with her really strong physical. And then she's out of a half-sister to Majestic Warrior.
Yeah, Curlin.
Being out of a daughter of APND should be very well too.
Curlin could have a great weekend this weekend. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, he's a super sire, huh? Almost everything he has
sure
runs.
Yep, and he's not one dimensional. He can get you a filly or a colt. It doesn't matter.
Chris, when you sit down, and by the way, visiting with Chris Beccari, his Beccari Bloodstock has had an awful lot of success. They will be in barn number 2 at the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. Chris, when you sit down to try to figure out which yearlings are going to go to which sales, what are some of the things that you're looking for when you get ready to bring a horse to Fasig Saratoga?
Well, anytime you go to the sales such as that or July, they just need to be a lot more forward, a lot more mature and ready to go, because that's what everybody's looking for in those particular select sales. So you just have to give the buyers exactly what they expect, and that's what we try to do.
Talk a little bit about your philosophy, Chris, when you're getting a horse ready for any sale, certainly a select sale like this, but what's the approach that Chris Beccari uses to make sure your horses stand out?
It's just we're either trying to buy the best physicals with the most amount of pedigree we can possibly get our hands on. That's kind of what our goal is. We don't really have that many number of horses that we sell. We just strive to have, as soon as every horse comes out of our consignment, it needs to be on your short list. That's our goal. Every horse gets on the short list.
That's a tough task sometimes, but your horses always look fantastic at the sales. You must spend a lot of time with sales prep and taking care of them leading up to the sale.
Yeah, we basically live with them.
Got him in the kitchen.
Exactly.
You said that you gamble on the farm every day, so you don't really need to gamble when they go to the racetrack. You don't need to go to the window, so to speak. Take us through, Chris, what the process is for getting a horse ready to come to a public auction.
Well, everything we do everything in hand. We don't use any urosizers. We do everything as either ponied or swam or walked. And that's how we do everything. So we can't do that many numbers. You know, we usually have maybe 40, 45. That's about all I really can do, physically can do, doing it that way.
Yep. Yep. Is that by design?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's kind of how I wanted to have it. I just wanted to have it where every horse that we take care of, we've done everything we could possibly do. So when it goes to the new owner, that they feel like, well, nothing was done wrong with this horse. He did everything he could do to present it the right way, and that way it's been – and we just really want to make sure that we install class in our horses. And the only way to do that is you need to do everything in hand. You don't need to – I don't like using machines. Everything has to be in hand.
You know, when the horses are handled like that every day of their life, they certainly seem to respond a lot better, and they show better at the sales because they're used to having people around.
And I think that's true. And the other thing is everybody that's bought a horse, they like how fast and easy they are to break. So that's what I mean by just trying to install as much class in every horse.
Yeah, I would think
that way. Hopefully, maybe one day they'll have an advantage.
Yeah, I would think it has to help the mental side of things too, right? Because they are being handled so frequently.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't hurt. Chris, where are we as an industry with the yearling sales market right now? Are we in a good position? Do you like where we are?
I think so. I think it's like in any market, you just have to have quality. You know, quality is what's going to sell. You know, if you have horses that don't turn out the way you want them to, sometimes there's a reason why they just don't bring the money that you're hoping. They just don't stack up for what your competition is. But I think if you have a very good physical with the pedigree, you should be well rewarded.
Are you pretty firm on your prices when you go to sale, or do you fluctuate with the market?
No, I think you have to fluctuate with the market, you know, or you have to be prepared to put tack on them yourself. You know, that's just the bottom line.
Very realistic of you.
Well, he is consigner Chris Beccari joining us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Chris, I know that every time I give you a call and we try to line up an interview on the show, it always seems like you're on the farm doing something. Yesterday, I think you were getting ready to work with a horse, and It just speaks to your commitment and your dedication to everything that you have built at Bakari Bloodstock. So just want to let you know that we appreciate everything you've done for us here on the network and want to wish you all the best moving forward, especially at Saratoga and beyond. How about the Keeneland sale? What are we looking at for Keeneland September?
I mean, we have a very good set of horses all the way through, actually. We're real strong, you know, book one, probably all the way through book five.
Beautiful.
Or book four, I should say.
So you'll be busy then, too.
Very, I hope.
Vacation's over.
It's long over.
He is as good as it gets. Make sure you stop by and see him. Barn 2 at the Face of Tipton Saratoga sale. Tell him you heard him right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network and take a look at those four outstanding yearlings at the Bakari Bloodstock consignment. Chris, really do appreciate the visit, my friend. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we'll get that gift out to you, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week up in Saratoga.
All right, guys. I sure appreciate having me on.
All right. Chris Bakari here on HRRN. And yeah, he really does a nice job, and his horses do look great when they go through the auction ring. So make sure you stop by and say hello. And speaking of Embrace the Race, since Chris is going to get a gift, what we'll probably do is just hand deliver it to him when we see him in Saratoga, because our good friend Mike D'Anzaris will be part of that coverage of both nights of the sale with us, as all of that coverage is presented by Embrace the Race. And Mike, of course, the man who founded and came up with the concept of Embrace the Race. You can go to embracetherace.com to learn more and to wear what you love.
They have new digs.
They do. Yeah. Brand new store.
I can't wait to see it.
I know. Right on Main Street, too. It's a great location.
Yeah.
In Saratoga.
Yeah, their old location was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah. It was nice. A little bit off the beaten path, but really nothing's that far off the beaten path in Saratoga, right?
No, that's true. But if it's on Main Street, a lot more people will be walking by.
Yep. Yeah, excellent. So make sure you support them, and we'll make sure Chris gets his gift when we see him up there at the sale. Going to get to a break. We'll come back and talk about PDJF Day across America. We'll do that with Rajiv Miraj next on the Equine Forum on HRRN, your home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This graded stakes winner and multiple grade one performer by Tappet has become one of the nation's leading sires of two-year-olds. Ranked number one in his crop by number of winners, he sired 11 stakes horses in 2017, including graded stakes winners Wild Shot and Oklahoma Derby winner Untrad. At the sales, his yearlings have sold up to $480,000. Trap Shot, standing at Claiborne 5.
Discover the difference with Hiddenbrook Racing Partnerships. With 83% winners, 17% stakes winners, and 17% greatest stakes runners from horses purchased, partners enjoy success at the highest levels. Hiddenbrook has already campaigned a champion, 8 stakes winners, 3 greatest stakes winners, and 8 greatest stakes horses. In 2018, the partnerships have achieved 29% wins, with 46% of starters finishing in the money. Discover the difference at HiddenbrookFarmKY.com.
Bakari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. Recent stars include Grade 1 winner Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it.
Bakari Bloodstock is offering 4 selected yearlings at this year's Phasic Tipton Saratoga sale by top sires Pioneer of the Nile, Bernardini, Honor Code, and Curlin, with hip number 161, a half-brother to Grade 2 winner Appealing Tail. Visit Bakari Bloodstock in Barn 2 at Phasic Tipton Saratoga.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
But it's Rachel Alexandra by the 16th pole. She's six lengths out in front. Here's a filly for the ages, a Haskell legend, Rachel Alexandra.
Wow, who can forget that performance by the great Rachel Alexandra? The daughter of Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro defeated the boys in a dominating Haskell performance in 2009, and that effort makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Medaglia d'Oro has produced 21 career grade one winners, including the brilliant Rachel Alexandra, whose final time of 147 and one-fifth still holds as the fastest Haskell Invitational in the past 20 years. Rachel Alexandra is one of only two fillies ever to win the Haskell, a feat she shares with fellow Hall of Famer Serena Song. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
44.52 for the half, and they're into the stretch. And here's Imperial Hint and Bobby Abu Dhabi. And these two have taken over. Whitmore trying to come and get them. Recruiting Ready is thrown in the towel. Then Always Sunshine. It's Imperial Hint coming into the final 16th in front. Bobby Abu Dhabi and Whitmore closing on the outside. Imperial Hint's got it close to home from Whitmore. Imperial Hint wins the True North. Whitmore was second, Bobby Abu Dhabi was third, and Always Sunshine fourth in 115.02.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. That was Larry Colmus with the call of the True North, Imperial Hint, the likely favorite in this afternoon's Grade 1 A.G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. That is one of three greatest stakes races you will hear live on our coverage this afternoon, beginning at 4:30 Eastern Time. You'll want to join Acacia Courtney, Anthony Stabile, and Mike Beer as they bring you all the action live from Saratoga, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series presented by visitbarbados.org. Again, 4:30 Eastern is the start time. You can tune in on Sirius XM 93 and stream the coverage worldwide anywhere that you may be at horseracingradio.net. Well, this is PDJF Day across America, and so many racetracks and so many jockeys across the country doing different things to support the PDJF. Now, that is our official charity, has been for a long time here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But the cool thing is that they're going to do things a little bit differently this year with the Jockey Karaoke event that takes place in Saratoga Monday night, 5:30 to 11 p.m. at Vapor Nightclub. And they're going to do it in California tomorrow night at the Belly Up Tavern. And we're going to have an East versus West showdown when it comes to jockey karaoke. And trust me, if you've never been to one of these events, you're really missing out. They are a lot of fun. And you get to see the riders, a little different side of them, a lighthearted side. And it is a blast. And it's all for a good cause with the PDJF. Joined now by Rajiv Miraj, who will be one of the jockeys participating in Saratoga on Monday night. Rajiv, welcome, my friend.
Hi, Mike and Jude. Thanks for having me. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, my friend. You ready for Monday night?
I'm trying to get ready. It's kind of hard. I'm practicing, trying to make sure I get a little polished up, but I'm as ready as I can be, I guess.
So I heard you're partnering with Julian Leperoux.
Yes, Julian Leperoux and I, we're partnering. We're going to sing a Salt and Pepper song. Push it.
Which one's salt? Which one's pepper?
You guess.
Are you going to get Julian to wear dreadlocks?
Not no dreadlocks. That was for the Bob Marley version of our performance. So this is a different costume this time.
All right. So you mentioned you've been practicing. How much have you actually practiced?
Once we had one rehearsal, we practiced the song like four times. So we still have a lot of kinks we got to work out in the next couple of days. But I guess in between races in the jockey room, we'll be singing "Push It." How about that? A jockey's looking around like, what's going on over there?
You'd be taking a lot of showers together, right? So you sound better?
Oh, no, we won't sing that song in the shower, no.
Well, it should be a great event. As I mentioned, it starts at 5:30 Monday evening, Vapor Nightclub at Saratoga Casino and Raceway. And you can go to pdjf.org to get tickets to the event, and it's well worth it. And again, it supports a great cause. And Rajiv, that new element this year, it's East versus West, because the jocks on the West Coast are going to have their event tomorrow night, and we'll see who's better.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely coming out and hoping that, you know, we'll take it down the East over the West. But I'm sure they're going to be trying to come with their best as well.
How much has that elevated your game and the game of all the jockeys at Saratoga, knowing that it's this East versus West showdown?
Yeah, I mean, we take pride in the East, so we definitely want to try to, you know, win this event in that case, and it adds a new element, of course, so we're looking forward to it.
Well, it's such an important event for all jockeys and such a great cause, and I know you guys, you know, you put yourself out there every year, and it's not as easy as it looks. People think, oh, you know, it looks pretty easy, but you guys take it fairly seriously and really try to put your best foot forward.
Yeah, as an athlete, I'm a natural competitor, but there's things that I'm good at and things that I'm not good at, and singing is something that I'm not good at. It takes a lot of work for me to actually be able to put on a halfway decent performance, because it's not something that I'm naturally good at.
Is it hard to get up there in front of people and do that?
Yes. Especially that I'm not good at singing. Yeah, if it's something that I'm good at, it's easy to go out and do it. But I'm not very confident in my vocal ability. So,
well, look at it this way: you partnered with Julian, right? And he might be one of the worst singers in the world. So you're always going to sound better.
Oh no, Julian is going to carry me. I'm riding his coattail on this. So, this is one of the worst singers in the world.
Julian is carrying the duet. The duet. This is not good.
Not a recipe for success.
No.
Oh, he's got that good French melody.
Salt and pepper and French and Jamaican.
Yeah, what a combination.
Yeah.
Rajiv, who's the best natural singer among the jockeys at Saratoga?
Wow. It's a bad bunch. I'll be honest. It's hard to pick. It would be the worst of a bad bunch.
I've heard Johnny and Javier, and that's not pretty either.
Yeah. But I can't. No one stands out in my mind, actually. Jockey's wives sing good, but it's not a jockey's wives competition, so... If we're going by jockeys' wives, yeah, there's some ringers in there, but like Shay LaPerouse, you know. But I hope she's training him. That's all I can say. I hope these next couple of days he's not focused on riding, and he's just focused on his wife training him how to sing.
Yeah, that's good. She has a lot of experience. She might be able to give him some good coaching there. That might give you guys an edge.
Right, yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
Do you have to choreograph this thing too, Rajiv, where you have to learn some dance moves in order to make this whole thing come together, or is it just singing?
No, we're trying to put on a good show, you know, as best as we can. So we're definitely going to try to incorporate some dance in it while we sing, which makes it even harder to do. It's a mixture of dance and singing and comedy. That's how I view it. But yeah, we're going to try to put a couple of dance moves in it. You know, we just don't want to go stand on stage and blah, blah, blah. And we can't depend on our vocals, like I said, you know. So we have to add the extra elements to elevate it, the performance.
Yeah, that's good. You guys will get out there and it'll all fade away. Just like when you get on a horse, everything else you were thinking about goes away. You just focused, totally focused.
Yeah.
Well, no pressure, but Graham Motion said that the East Coast riders are far superior to the West Coast riders when it comes to jockey karaoke. So you've got Graham in your corner anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be on the voting panel this year, which will hurt us, I guess. So we got to, you know, we got to try to find out who the judges are and try to butter them up, you know. I might even ride a horse for free just to get some extra votes.
Rajiv Miraj with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rajiv, all kidding aside, this event supports a very important cause, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. And yeah, we joke around about it and we have fun putting these events together and doing these events. But when it comes right down to it, it's a very serious matter. And it's an organization that can only survive through donations. And it does so much to help riders who have given this sport so much and now can't do it anymore because of a catastrophic injury they've suffered when they were riding. Talk a little bit about PDJF and what it means to all the riders out there.
Well, like you said, you know, it covers jockeys that have been catastrophically injured and they don't have many means of getting taken care of financially and other stuff, as well as support and stuff. And most importantly, the PDJF doesn't have any guaranteed funding. So without these events, we wouldn't be able to raise money to take care of these guys. So that's why we continuously do it. And everything that we earn from this goes straight to the jockeys. So it's whatever people donate and the money that they spend at these events that actually helps so much in these people's lives. So that's very important.
You know, it's a super opportunity for people to get involved, to meet the riders, to have a nice evening away from the racetrack and really do some good for a lot of people that need their help.
Yes, for sure. And you get to see a different side of the jockeys. You know, people know us from riding horses all the time, but to actually see us in a fun environment, it actually, you know, connects us to everyone a little different.
Rajiv, every rider knows when they get a leg up the danger that they face. And let's face it, this is a dangerous sport. And that's the reason you have an ambulance that follows you around on the racetrack. You, a couple of years ago, went through a very scary period after a spill and you had to fight your way back. You're now back riding again. Does that make causes like this even that much more important to you?
Well, yeah, this has always been very important to me. But I was almost one of the guys that were permanently disabled. So it's even more dear to my heart that it could happen to anyone at any given time, as long as you get on the horse. So we always got to look out for each other as best as we can. And that's one of the reasons that all the jockeys push to keep this going, to help out our fellow riders. And also, you never know, it can happen to anyone. So you just got to, you know, keep building it. And hopefully one day we'll have some form of guaranteed funding for the PDJF. But until then, we need everyone's support to keep funding.
He's as good as it gets. He's jockey Rajiv Miraj and nice enough to be with us this morning on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Rajiv, really appreciate the visit. Stay safe out there every time you get a leg up and go have some fun on Monday night. We'll look forward to seeing it.
All right. Thank you. Nice talking to you guys.
All right. Yaman. I always got to sneak that in when I got Rajiv on, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I wish we were there. He could cook us some ackee and saltfish for breakfast.
What was it? Jerk chicken.
Yeah, well, jerk chicken, too.
Yeah, jerk chicken.
It's breakfast time now.
He uses a lot of spices. I have a sensitive palate. I don't know. I like jerk chicken, but I like it mild. He said he's not making it mild for me.
No.
So, should be interesting. All right. Time now for your KTA, KTOB spotlight segment, shining the spotlight on the KTA and KTOB. And here you go. Tell you every week that Kentucky bred, or every month, that Kentucky bred means quality. And 73%, how about that? 73% of grade one races are won by Kentucky breds. So if you're on the hunt for the next possible grade one winner, the numbers plainly state that your chances are much improved with a Kentucky bred. The upcoming Saratoga Selected Yearling Sale on August 6th and 7th will be the place to find the likes of such Kentucky-bred Grade 1 winners as Avenge, Bolt Doro, Gervin, and La Coronel, as well as Kentucky-bred Breeders' Cup winners Rushing Fall, Stormy Liberal, and Battle of Midway, not to mention the exceptional recent Kentucky-bred champion, Songbird. And the list of those greatest stakes winners goes on, and all of those Kentucky-breds, all Saratoga selected graduates. Yeah, pretty impressive. Go where the numbers are in your favor. It pays to buy and race a Kentucky bred. Visit KentuckyBred.org to learn more. We'll get to one final break. We'll come back and wrap it up for you. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Hello, I'm Michael Blauen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Castleton Lions is home to blue blood sprinter Justin Phillip and multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Justin Phillip is among North America's leading second crop sires, represented by the exciting Graded Stakes Place filly Safe to Say and Stakes Place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing in 2018. Justin Phillip is also the sire of What a Catch, winner of last year's Rockville Center Stakes at 2. Seven-time Grade 1 winner Gio Ponti continues to prove his offspring can run on any surface at any distance. The sire of Eclipse champion and Breeders' Cup sprint winner, Dre Fong.
Dre Fong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dre Fong's the leader. Dre Fong has won.
Canadian classic hero, Sir Dudley Diggs.
Sir Dudley Diggs has won the Queen's Plate.
And marathon specialist, Runtime.
But Runtime! Motors on the outside!
Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Freak yeah, welcome to Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah, whoa, she's going to slice down on that lettuce.
Freak yeah, she's a fresh lettuce freak. Slices it fresh every day at exactly 3/32 of an inch.
Freak yeah, wait, now she's carving meats?
Freak yeah, she's also a meat freak. Slices are all natural meats by hand daily.
Freak yeah. Freak, you gotta be kidding me.
Freak yeah, also a bread freak. Makes bread fresh in store every 4 hours.
Freak, wow.
Here's the best part, we're all lettuce, meat, and bread freaks here. Because that means better sandwiches for all.
Double freak wow. You guys are freaking my freak.
Freaky fresh, freaky fast. Jimmy John's, freak yeah.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic!
Passion.
Pioneer of the Nile, fully stretched and keeping Chocolate Candy at bay. And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Dones have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it! Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainsway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA with his first U.S. crop of yearlings coming to market this year. A champion on the racetrack, Empire Maker won both the Florida Derby and Belmont Stakes on his way to earning nearly $2 million. Now a highly influential sire and producer of 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile and Bodemeister, along with four-time Grade 1 winner Emollient and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Empire Maker, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Busy couple of hours on the show this morning. Our thanks to Acacia Courtney for joining us live from Saratoga to kick things off. Had a chance to catch up with Todd Pletcher yesterday. She also caught up with Steve Asmussen and Chad Brown. You heard those interviews, so our thanks to those individuals for taking the time. Chris Bakari from Bakari Bloodstock was with us just a short time ago, and Rajiv Miraj a few minutes ago before the previous commercial break. Our thanks to them for taking the time as well. All of our guests who appear on the program receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion by going to embracetherace.com and stop by their new store on Main Street in Saratoga when you're up there at the spa, if you're up there at the spa this summer, and we hope you can be. Later this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, coverage of three outstanding Graded Stakes races, including the Jim Dandy here on the network, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series presented by visitbarbados.org. Acacia Courtney hosts the coverage alongside Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer, 4:30 to 6:30 Eastern. And that all airs on Sirius XM 93 and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's going to be a great afternoon. Looks like the weather may be breaking a little bit at Saratoga, which is nice. Always clear, fast, and firm at Del Mar.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Results of the poll question at HRN on Twitter, and we hope you're following us. We asked you, with Justify's retirement, which three-year-old will emerge as the leader in the division? Well, Good Magic, 47% of the vote going to him. We'll see him in the Haskell tomorrow. The other category getting 41%. Hofburg seems to be the popular choice there for people that didn't like our top three. And one listener weighing in saying, Monomoy Girl, 5 for 5, 4 grade 1s. How is she not listed? Well, obviously, we're talking about the male division, but we didn't specify that. So, yeah, Monomoy Girl, she might be better than any of the boys out there.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, excellent. All right, want to thank all of our guests for being here. Want to thank our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy John's of Lexington studio, Chauncey, Sean C., for handling all of our social media for us. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. Don't forget to join our coverage this afternoon, 4:30 Eastern, for the Jim Dandy. That's all coming up from Saratoga later today. Thanks for listening. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.